We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do sit down. So can you turn the overall thing slightly down? It's the very right hand one. I think, is that better? Maybe just turn microphone 5 right down at the moment, because I think that's maybe giving some feedback. You have to turn it back up for the prayers. Thank you. Sorry about that. That sounds a bit better. We're on the second week of our series on people of the Old Testament. And we're in the time of the judges of Israel. Last week we looked at Deborah. Today we're looking at Gideon. So let's just set the scene a bit. The people of God had been in slavery in Egypt under Pharaoh. They were led to freedom by Moses through the Red Sea. And then they wandered in the desert for about 40 years. Before Joshua eventually led them into the promised land. But after Joshua, there was a power vacuum. Now, the people of God found it difficult not to be influenced by the people around them, the people who, the indigenous peoples of that area. They wanted what those other people had. Isn't it a temptation for us all to want what other people have? They say, don't they, the grass is always greener. We always think someone else is better off than us. But the people of Israel were, well, you know, I know we've got God, but actually it'd be quite good to have more gods. You know, some of these other people have got several gods. Some of these other people have got a king as well. So the people of God got caught up in a cycle of rebellion. They turned away from the one true God and his ways and started worshipping other gods. Then they experienced God's anger as they're oppressed by their enemies. Then they cry out in distress. And then, at this stage, God raises up a judge, a deliverer, to rescue them. All is well for a while, then the cycle begins again. Now, in the book of Judges, there are 12 judges, and most of them are pretty unlikely choices in the patriarchal society of the day, for different reasons. Last week we heard about Deborah, a woman. Ehud, another of the early judges, was disabled and a loner. But despite, or maybe because of their differences, God raises up each judge to rescue God's oppressed people, to deliver them from enemy power and to keep them safe, to restore God's way of living to the people and to the community. Now, Gideon sits right in the middle of the story of the judges of Israel. He sits there in the middle. He's got quite a few more chapters than some of the others, so he's a significant person. And I think part of that significance lies in his complexity. He's a complex, very human character. For one thing, he's filled with uncertainty, with insecurity, and he hugely lacks confidence. Recognize that? It's true for many of us, isn't it? But he's called by God. Just as God often surprises us, he surprises Gideon. Gideon was overwhelmed by what was going on around him, by the disaster which had come upon the people of God. They were hidden. It says he's threshing wheat in a wine press. I mean, that was just not something that you did. He was doing it to hide. The people of God were in a terrible position, and he really doubted God's power to deliver them. He was also insecure about his own position. He was a minor position in the smallest clan, the youngest son of an insignificant family. He says himself, "My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." So imagine his surprise when he's visited by an angel of the Lord who says to him, "The Lord is with you." It's the same phrase that the angel Gabriel uses to Mary when he comes to tell Mary that she's expecting the Son of the Most High. Gideon needs some confidence boosting. So God's messenger calls Gideon, "You mighty warrior." Not sure he felt he inhabited that particular phrase. And says, "You shall strike down the Midianites." The angel of the Lord commissions Gideon, saying, "Go in this might of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian." And Gideon is empowered by the promise from God that "I will be with you," an echo of the promise that God also made to Moses. And there's a promise of peace and reassurance. "Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." I mean, you couldn't have it much better in terms of a commission and a call, could you? It's all pretty clear. There's no doubt that God has chosen Gideon and has a task for him. Now, Gideon's first response is to build a new altar to the Lord called "The Lord is Peace," and he goes on and does his thing, cutting down the Asherah pole. But pretty soon afterwards, he's racked with worry and insecurity again. Do you know the feeling? "I can't possibly do this. It's too difficult. I'm not up to it. I don't have the skills. I'm not good enough." So Gideon looks for reassurance. He puts out a fleece for God, asking God to allow the fleece to be drenched with dew and for the ground around to be left dry. Even after this happens, Gideon's still not quite satisfied, and he asks God to do the same thing in reverse with a dry fleece and wet ground. Now, dew is a potent symbol and sign of God's blessing. So this picture of God drenching the fleece and then the ground reinforces the call and blessing that God has for Gideon. God is incredible.